Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow, amazing, amazing, amazing. Come on, let us give Jesus a big shout of praise this morning. And a big shout to our young people up there. You know, I love the young people. Thank you. You know, they just spice up the service. My God shall supply. Ay, 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 ay. I wish I was in the choir again. But you know what? This choir isn't for old people like me. It's for... And thank you, worship team. And this worship team is a very special team today. Almost very special. But it's an international team. Here's why. This gentleman, Dennis, and his wife was a little bit back there. They lead worship in our international church, Watoto Church Juba. So, come on. Can we... Let's love on Dennis. Yeah, that is international, you know. And also, over the other side, in Mbarara, Karen was there. Karen, the lady, was here also from Mbarara. And then the drummer, the keyboardist, our young adults from our Watoto homes. Come on. Really, it's such an incredible atmosphere in this place, and you all are looking beautiful and handsome and amazing. If your neighbor has not given you a comment, just turn to them, tell me. Tell me what I look like right now. Now you just tell them, they're looking good. And you can tell them you smell good too. Oh, amazing, you know. Of course, this is an online service as well. And can we welcome everybody who's joining us online? You're welcome, everybody. Thank you, thank you. And specifically, our team leaders, Julius and Vanita Rodlonio, are online. He was really enjoying. He's like, man, I wish I was in the service. Jules, enjoy being in the UK. For us, we are having a wonderful time here at home. So enjoy, please. Have a wonderful time right there. And but we miss you. And your pastor, Brian, is also in Mbarara, and so, but they're everywhere. And that means I get to be with you today. With my hot dark chocolate right there. That's my wife there. 17 years in May, and she's been good to me, very kind, gracious. But I think I've also done a good job. I'm told she looks better after 17 years. Whatever I'm doing, I don't know, but it must be a good thing. So, you know, it's good to be married. But you're welcome to church. I hope you're enjoying God's presence in this place. And just one quick announcement. It is 7 weeks to a big 40 celebration. 7 weeks we are away from a big 40 celebration. On the 23rd of June 2024, we all are going to gather at Kololo Independence Grounds, and we are going to have a big party. We are going to celebrate because God has been faithful. The last 40 years have been incredible. We want to look back and say, thank you, God, but also look ahead and say, God, we are looking forward for the best days that are still ahead of us. And so we're going to have a service at 10 a.m. You don't want to miss out, okay? 10 a.m. And then in the afternoon, we are going to launch our brand new album that we recorded here on Friday. So that day, it's going to be the official international launch. And our friends from Bethany Church in Louisiana, USA, are going to join us in this place. BJ is going to be here with us, more than a conqueror. It's going to be amazing. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, watch this tape after. Google, you'll discover. It's going to be an amazing day to celebrate what God is doing. So let's be a part of this. Now, all of you online campuses, not online, upcountry, Mbarara, Juba, Jinja, Entebbe somehow, Gulu, make sure you board those buses and come, because we shall have one celebration. Tell your pastors, we are not staying up country. We are going to Kampala to celebrate. God's going to be amazing. If you miss out on this birthday, Jesus will ask you in heaven why you missed. And one more time, let's welcome our friends from VU Church in Miami. Thank you so much for joining us. I was there about 2 years ago. I just snuck into the congregation. It was a wonderful service. And amazing with Marilyn and Gary Skinner while they're together. I was the bodyguard. No, I'm not the bodyguard, no. Let's pray together as we get into God's word. God, I'm praying that the next couple of minutes are going to be so foundational because your word is powerful. Your word is your will for our lives. So speak to our hearts. And may we not just be hearers of the word, may we be doers of the word. Because the word that we do is what brings prosperity and blessing to our lives. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen. Now we are in week, I think, number 3 in our amazing sermon series, God's Heart for Every Man. Now, if there's a man sitting next to you, come on, tell them you are the man. Clap for them and welcome them to church. Thank you so much for coming to church. God's Heart for Every Man. Now, these are messages for every man that every woman needs to hear. It's very important. And this is a family month, and for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be addressing issues that really go through as families. Because we believe that our communities are healthy when our families are healthy. And over the years, we've been addressing other issues, but this time, we felt God leading us to address the man in the family. Because the Bible is very clear, when you strike the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. Now, just let me ask you a question. Most of you are spiritual in this place. You guys are deep. If you want to destroy the family, who do you think the devil would go for first? The man. And that is why we are really spending some time to speak to the man. But also, ladies, you have a big part to play because men don't live in isolation. We live together. We are family. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was in my small group, and the first question in our small group that was asked was, what has been the impact of a father to you in your family? And that was the only question we discussed that day. There was no question number 2, number 3. We just camped at question number 1 because when we went around the circle, everybody was expressing the pain they have experienced as a result of not having a father in their family or the absence of a father in their family. I remember one of the ladies said, you know what? I don't even know how to relate with men because I was raised up by a single mother. Single mothers in this place, we celebrate you. Thank you so much for the work that you do. Amazing. Thank you. But I could feel the pain in the air. And then later, when I was attending a small group, not a small group, a men's meeting, after the worship session and having some good bites, pork, and some barbecue, we also sat in small groups in the men's gathering. And we talked about the same issue about fathers and men in our lives. And of course, many other negative stories came through, but I really love this beautiful story that I had as well. Now, this gentleman is a lawyer. I won't say his name. But he said that for him, unlike the rest of us, his father was present. In fact, he was so present that every night they had to pray. And he made sure as the father, he concluded every prayer session in their family. But also he said that his father did market shopping. Now, if you know African market shopping, it is not where you go to the counter like Walmart, my friends from Vuchurch. No, no. It is a good experience. And so he said the father went out shopping every weekend and took them along. Now, this gentleman is grown up and he's doing exactly the same thing. He's leading prayer in his family. He even goes shopping in the Ugandan markets. His wife, his new bride, who is from southwestern Uganda, is a Muchiga by tribe. At some point, asked him, why do you do things that women are supposed to be doing? He said, hey, my father raised me very well. That is the impact of having a present father in the family. And that is why we are addressing these issues, because we believe when the fathers and the men rise up to their God-given responsibilities, there's going to be flourishing in all our families. And today, I want to talk about This idea that God's heart is for every man to rise to his leadership responsibility. Leadership responsibility. That is God's heart for every man, so we can rise up and never be found missing in action. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God giving the leadership mandate to the man. And God said this, Genesis 2, 15 to 18. Then the Lord took the man, and watch this, he's saying, the man. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will suddenly die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And all the single men said, amen. I'll make a suitable helper for him. So we see God creating the man, God giving leadership mandate, instructions to the man. Now let's watch what happens the next chapter. Verse 6 of chapter 3 says this. This is when the devil, the serpent, came to tempt the woman. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. I used to think that when the serpent was tempting Eve, Adam was somewhere hunting. Actually, Adam was present. Right there. I would have expected Adam, because he was told never to eat of that tree, to say two things. One, serpent, get out of here. Or woman, do not eat. But I think he was looking at the woman, he's like, wow, she's so beautiful. No, she didn't. But we see Adam not stepping up to his leadership responsibility in the Garden of Eden. Now let's watch this. Verse 8, when the Lord shows up. Now the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden, as if they could hide away from God. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? You would think that God would begin with the sequence of the sin, from the serpent to the woman, then finally the man. No, he said, call to the man, where are you? Because God holds us as men responsible for our families. It is a high calling. And that is why we must rise up to a leadership responsibility in our families, in our communities, wherever we are. That's why God said, where are you? And I hear God calling us even today. Where are you? And my prayer is that may we be found to be where we ought to be, wherever God has placed us. Because when we are missing, there is pain that happens in our families. But when we are present, there is health in our families. You know what? What do we see today? Statistically, more ladies, more women attend church than men. And that is why I want to celebrate all the men attending church today. Men, thank you so much. You are unique. You are different. But also we have very many single-headed families, single mothers. And there's a cry, people have been asking us, can we begin a ministry for single mothers? It's a trend that is on the rise. This tells us that we as men, as fathers, we need to rise up to a leadership responsibility. And the first place that I believe that we need to rise up to is to lead ourselves, first and foremost. We must exercise self-leadership. We must lead ourselves. In other words, take responsibility for your life. I got a testimony from a gentleman who, in one of our sermons, possibly about 10 years ago, 6 years ago, it was during the family series, and he quoted a statement that we made. And this is what he said, that this statement changed his life. And we say that though you did not choose the family you were born into, you can choose to be a good son. And he said because in his upbringing, his father was not there, so he was bitter against his father. But in that very moment, he realized by staying bitter in his heart, he was actually stopping himself from rising up to become the man God wanted him to be. In that message, he was released from bitterness. He forgave his father, and he chose to be an honoring son, even as he grows up to be the man that God is calling him to be in his family. Can I say this to all of us in this place? You did not choose the family you were born into. And for sure, you could have grown up in a family that experienced pain and dysfunction. Possibly your father wasn't there. Or maybe some of you were abused by father figures in your lives. And you know what? My heart and our hearts as leaders, they go out to you. We pray that God heals you. But I want to let you know this, that actually your future does not have to be determined by the pain in your past. You can determine today to embrace what God has in store in your life. Forgive those who have hurt you. Receive healing and become the person God wants you to be in your future. So we need to take responsibility for our lives today. Don't live as a victim. God can lead you to victory in your life in Jesus' name. You see, I love the scriptures in Proverbs 25, 28 says this. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. If we cannot lead ourselves, rule ourselves, the Bible says we are like a city that is unprotected. Anything comes in, anything goes out. That's not God's will for our lives. God wants us to be people who are under the authority of God. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How are you going to lead yourself moving forward? You have to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. God has to be your new leader. You have to be submitted to God. Because on my own, let me tell you, I can't lead myself. I need to be under the authority. I need to be under the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit each and every day. So if we are going to be the leaders God is calling us to be, the number one place we begin is we must rule ourselves. Lead yourself. Don't become a victim. Become a victor in Jesus' name and become the man that God is calling you to be in this generation, but also in the family that God is giving you. The second area of leadership that God is calling us to as men is we need to lead our families. It sounds obvious, isn't it? But we need to take responsibility for our families. And I watched a video that blessed my heart that I would like you to watch. Now, this is not a video that I made. It was captured by BBC. And we know BBC is BBC, all right? So let's watch this clip, and then I'll be back.
Come on, y'all. ARD's out.
When Southwood High had a problem with students fighting, they turned to Dad Power.
Y'all ready to have a good day at school?
The dads on duty are a team of volunteer fathers who mingle with the students, spreading positive vibes. It's led to a reduction in violence.
Go to class, go to class, go to class, go to class.
The dads are given a security vetting, but they aren't there to break up fights.
We come into the overall fold not to be security here. We come to bring positive presence because it is very difficult to learn in an environment where you have violence and people bullying you.
In 2021, there were a number of violent incidents at the school. So the teachers and parents got together to find a solution. They felt the students needed a positive male presence.
A child will listen to that male in their life before they listen to their mother. And there's no, you know, I'm 5'3", I have a presence, but I don't have a presence like a man.
And the students seem to like the dads being around.
Most of the dads are like our race, so we just can connect more because I know they didn't experience some of the stuff I've been experiencing.
Because they nice, you know what I'm saying? And like, that's real good for them to come do things like that for us.
They know how to communicate better than the teachers and stuff.
70% of US schools reported violent incidents in 2020. But the dads think extra police isn't always the answer.
Like, their friends might be like, man, you a snitch, you know, because you sitting there talking to the police.
I don't look at them as they bad kids. Are they disruptive? Yeah, at some time, are they loud and aggressive? Yeah.
Yeah.
Only thing they want is love. Just somebody just tell them, hey, we love you, you know, have a nice day.
The dads have lots of support in the local community.
Once those dads organized together and went and showed their presence at the school, it was like a switch turned on and the fights just stopped.
There's been some more trouble at the school this term, but the mayor believes the dads are having a positive impact.
You gotta be like living on Mars if you don't think there's distrust between the African-American community or low-income communities and police officers. And that's why fathers coming in is a completely different scenario.
They now plan to put dads on duty in all 58 schools across the city.
Amazing. Dads on duty. Don't you like that? Dads on duty. And you know what? If we are on duty at home, we don't have to be on duty at school. So dads, let's come back home. Now, Abraham was given this command in Genesis 18:19. For I have commanded him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised. This is God saying that to bring about the promise to Abraham, Abraham must lead his family well. And so men, we need to rise up. Fathers, we need to be on duty at home. And there are four areas where we need to be on duty. The first thing we must understand as dads, as fathers, single men, as you grow up, understand this. You are the spiritual leader in your family. You are the man of God. When it comes to your family, don't quote Pastor Eddie. You are the man of God. You are the prophet, you are the priest, and God is with you. He wants to empower you to be on duty when it comes to spiritual duty in your family. So you have a great influence, by the way, on the spiritual atmosphere, but also the future of your children. And again, there's a research that was done. You know, in Uganda, we don't have good research, but this is, I believe the principle in this is true. This was a research done to see the parental influence in church attendance for children when they grow up. And this is what happened. When neither mom or dad attend church, they found out that 81% of the kids won't either. In other words, when dad and mom don't go to church, 8 out of 10 of the kids, they won't show up at church. And then when only mom attends, they said 39% of the kids attend church regularly as adults. When both mom and dad attend, it is 74%. But watch this. When only dad attends, it is 67%. Just think about that for a moment. It feels or looks like children are always observing what the father is doing so they can do the same. Dads, we need to be on duty at home. So, tonight when you go back home, fathers, if you have not done this before, I'm just going to give you a very easy way of doing this. When you get home today, tell your family, Dad is on duty tonight. I'm back. But don't just say that. As I say, at 8, whatever time you go to bed, we are going to have prayer. Now, if you're not good at leading prayer, you don't have to be a good prayer leader. Just be a good leader. We made Right Now Media app available for you, free of charge. Just go and pick a nice kid's story. Play it. And then ask them, what have you learned? And then kneel in the middle of your sitting room and then pray. Do it today, do it tomorrow, do it next year. You will thank me for this. You are the spiritual leader. And you know, I thank God that we've been doing this. I don't know for how long it has been as my with my family. And my wife, when I'm away, she makes sure that when I'm away, she calls me on FaceTime and said, Eddie, it's time for family prayer time. Sometimes I'm in a different time zone, but I gotta wake up and get ready. And then you know what? Everybody prays. And then I conclude in Jesus' name. And Dad has prayed right there. So there are no excuses. We can pray through WhatsApp, through Skype. Doesn't exist. FaceTime. Let's just stay on FaceTime on that. The second area that we need to rise up in our families, dads, is this. You are the primary provider in your family. You are the person that God has given the primary responsibility to become the provider. And I know in our day-to-day, both husband and wife could be working, but the primary responsibility to provide is on you as the dad, as the father of the house. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul is saying, if you, as a child of God, you cannot take care of your family, the world cannot learn from you. Single guys, this is the key. Is a, you will thank me for this. When you take the girl out, pay the bill. I'm telling you. Now, some of you think you're paying it for her. I know some guys say, what if she didn't become anything? You are teaching yourself to become generous because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Pay the bill. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to say, oh, he's paying the bill. Because not many pay the bill these days. Pay the bill. Provide. Learn to be a provider. And let me speak to some of you single men who have children living with their mothers. You're not living together. Life happens. Please make sure you are providing for your son, your daughter, as she stays with, and also provide for the mother of that child. It's the right thing to do. Can I hear an amen? That's the right thing to do. We are responsible to provide for our families. The third area of responsibility as men, as dads on duty at home, is we are held accountable for the discipline of our children. Ephesians 6:4 says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, Paul was writing to the family, but he said, fathers, you are responsible. I am responsible to discipline my children. The times I come back home when my wife has stayed home with the kids and she is completely out. Say hi. Say your kids. I have a headache right now. And most times when I come back home, I also have a headache. And I'm thinking, not today. Then I remember, if I don't do it today, I won't do it tomorrow. And so I call my children and I ask them, please, can you account for all your sins? And then I reward them accordingly. Now, if you are raised in a family where they were legalistic, most likely your parenting style is laissez-faire. Everything passes. You suffered so much, you want freedom for your children. But most times we give our children freedom that they're not ready for. Because they have to earn the freedom. Your children are not your friends. They're not your buddies. There's some time when my sons come and they think they're buddies. I say, excuse me, I'm your father. Sit down. No. They need to earn those freedoms because when you give them freedom too soon, what happens? They have no boundaries in life. On the other side, you are raised with so much freedom and you are regretting. I wish my parents really put more boundaries. Now you are so authoritarian. when you show up your kid's head to the bedroom. It's like the anointing of flea appears when you appear. But we all must come back to biblical standards of discipline. It's neither laissez-faire or authoritarian. It must be biblical. So fathers, we are held responsible. There's a sad story in 1 Samuel. The priest Eli was laissez-faire. He allowed anything to happen. His sons were sinning. He knew it. And he didn't discipline his children. What happened is God just got tired and their lives ended tragically. David, on the other side, is a man after God's own heart, but his parenting style was also laissez-faire. What happened? There was trouble in his family. So God is calling us to be the men who are going to call our children to discipline. So don't be afraid of doing it, but do it in the right way. Biblical discipline. Not African, not Western, but biblical discipline. Amen. And when you read, and again as a church, we have equipped streams like Growing Teens and also Growing Kids, God's Way, to help you to understand how to become a good parent. And then lastly, dads on duty. We also must be fathers to the fatherless. In our communities, we are a young nation. But also we are a fatherless nation. I'm a pastor. I'm not very old, but also I'm not very young. But let me tell you, one thing that I've experienced the last couple of years I've been a pastor is young people who are always coming to me and asking me to become their father. And they say, Pastor Eddie, can I call you father instead of calling you Pastor Eddie? And my heart breaks every time. And I know if I listen to their story, there's something happening at home. Either dad is missing or dad is absent or there's no male influence in their lives. So we cannot just take care of our families in our homes. There are other families outside of our homes because whatever happens in our community ends up influencing what is happening here at home. So God is calling us to become fathers to the fatherless in our communities. And Watoto, we are a church that is known for doing this. We have three children's villages with over 3,600 boys and girls, but these young people are being raised by single mothers. We have done something, but we can do better. Psalm 68, verse 5 to 6 says this, that God is the father to the fatherless. It says this, a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. And we as Watoto, for the last 30 years, we have blessed the lonely in families called Watoto villages. The last 30 years. I'm so glad by the grace of God we've seen some young adults graduate. But we can do better. We need father figures to our children in our villages. We do. We do. Last year, we took you to the villages to go for a village tour. And I went, as usual, as a pastor, hosting my church then, Ntinda. And before we could leave, after having lunch, one of the guys that was hosting us, showing us around, just tapped my shoulder and said, Pastor Eddie, can you be my dad? I didn't expect that, but in that very moment, I just sensed God telling me, you need to bring her up as one of your children. And you know what? That young lady is part of our family, just like many others have been part of our family. I also want to clap for you because I want you to become a father's heart, because our children need father figures. I want to invite one of our young adults, George. George, please come to the stage. Let's clap for George. George is one of our young adults who was raised on the villages. As he was, he's no longer there. So George, A quick snippet. What is your story?
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Hello, family. Aren't you glad you came to church today? My name is George, and I joined Watoto at 7 years old, as a seven-year-old boy, because my mother, at 17 years of age, was sexually abused and encouraged to have an abortion. However, on the way to the hospital, she just decided not to go through with the abortion, and she had a baby, and I'm that child. So, never met my father. I don't know who he is, but God has been faithful.
Now, George was raised in Watoto, and you're raised by your biological mother, right? But I just want you to just share the experience of you growing up in that single family dwelling. What was the impact of not having a father influence? But also, how has your life changed later in your life?
Right. You know, I can only think of two things that make a significant difference in the life of a total child. One of them is sponsorship. Sponsorship does make a difference. But the second thing that I can think of is when a man or a father holds the hand of a child and walks that journey, it makes a significant difference. So as a child, I didn't think much of not having a father. But as a teenager, I had my challenges. I started having questions. Where is this man? Why isn't he here? What did he do? Why haven't I even ever seen a picture of him? And that took me on a journey of being rebellious, having anger, and just not being at par with my mother. But God was good. And there was a pastor in the village, and he just believed in me and gave me opportunities to lead, to do certain things. And I tested him because I didn't think he meant what he said. I shunned every single man that came in the image of a father. But he was consistent, and he loved me genuinely. And I went through school, went through university, and a few years ago, I went through a trying time. Broken, shattered dreams. One day I was in the foyer, and I met Pastor Eddie's PA. She just looked at me and said, "Go talk to your father." I'm like, "No, I'm not doing it. I didn't want to." But I walked up to Pastor Eddie's office and cried and, you know, told him everything. And he looked at me. Having grown up with a mother, I expected, "You'll be fine. Oh, come, let me give you a hug." Wow. He just looked at me and said, "Son, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine." And I'm okay. But that really led us on a journey. We got locked down during COVID. We were together. And he's been a great father, been a good father figure. Pastor Eddie, here's what I can confirm. Fathers are critical.
Thank you, George. Let's appreciate George. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now you'd think that this young man on this stage speaking to you, I was raised in a family where my father was present. I lost my father when I was 7 years old. And struggled through life. And then at university, I showed up in this building. The Lord touched my heart. I got saved. And I used to watch Pastor Gary talking about his wife, saying, "You know what? I make my wife a cup of coffee every morning." And I was like, "Nah, that's not true." Because in my experience, I never go to see what a dad or a father does. And so I paid attention to my pastors. I observed the Skinners. I observed the Komagums, the Onagas. And actually, I saw that these pastors were not just people who speak words. They were authentic in their relationship. Because I came to this church family and I was able to see what a husband does and what a wife does, that is what has helped me to become the man that I am today. Because we all need to see what it looks to be a father in our lifetime. So my friends, fathers, I would like to invite you. I want to invite you to become father figures to our children. At the end of this service, as you go out in the foyer, you will see some volunteers smiling at you, ready to sign you up at the Father's hand. You know what? The 3,600 children are all like George. They are crying out, is there a man who can believe in me? And you, and we as Watoto Church, we are the church that God has called to become the father to the 3,600 children. So, God is calling us to rise up, not only to lead ourselves as fathers, as guides, as men. He's calling us to lead our families, but also he's calling us to become fathers to the fatherless in this nation. And you know what? When we father this generation, I believe that we are going to see healing come to our cities and our nation, which is actually the vision that God has given to us. And as I talk about this message, I know it's a very difficult message. As I talk about fathers, some of you have gone back in time and possibly remembered the moment where you either experienced something good or something, but most times, we always go to the negative. And as I speak today, right here in person and online, some of you, the pain caused by the absence or the abuse of a father has come to the surface again. And I want to pray for you today. I want to bring you that place of healing that God the Father to the fatherless, actually does heal us from the hearts that we have experienced. I don't want you to leave this place as a victim of the past. No. Jesus wants to heal your heart in this place today and set you free to become the child that God wants you to be in your family, but also in the future family that you have. Dads, maybe you're in this place, you feel you've not been dad enough, but you know what? You can begin today. God being on your side, God wants to empower you today to become that dad that he wants you to become in your family. Single person, this is preparation time. And I believe God is healing you, possibly of some of the pains and anger issues you have in your life. But also is asking you to look for mentors, father figures who are going to enable you to become a man. So you can become a husband who is going to become a great father to the children God is going to bless you with. So whatever you're going through, I believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, and I want to pray for you. I want us to believe God to really address the issues of our hearts in this place today. The Father, our Heavenly Father, wants to father us in this very moment right now. Would you bow your head across this place? Let's pray together. Now, Father, I thank you for your word to us today that reminds us that you are the Father to the fatherless. Sin separates us from you. In fact, we all are fatherless because we are sinners. But I pray in this very moment that those who are experiencing pain in their lives, those who are experiencing emptiness in their lives today as a result of abuse, absence, or passivity of fathers in their lives, God, I pray in this very moment, may you father them. Those who are holding on to bitterness in their hearts and because of the pain, God, you understand what they're going through. Jesus, you are the high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. So God, I pray in these weak moments of our hearts, may you come and bring healing, bring wholeness, Lord, I pray. Heal us, oh God, I pray right now. Set us free from bitterness. Set us free from every pain that we've gone through. And I pray today, may you set us up, not to live as victims, but to live as victors. Because we are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. God, I pray for all the men in this place. I pray that may we rise up to be responsible for our lives and lead ourselves as we come under the authority of you, God. I pray for dads in this place, fathers, that may we be dads on duty, present in our families. Because for us to see healing come to our families, to our communities, dads must come back on duty. God, I pray that may you call us as fathers to embrace the children you've given to us in our total villages, to become fathers' hearts. Because you father them through us. But also in this moment, I acknowledge that people who have sinned and they feel they don't deserve anything good, God, you sent your son to reconcile us. So I pray in the name of Jesus right now that your grace, and when you draw people who feel that they don't deserve anything good from you, to come back to you and say, God, here I am. Because you came to seek and save that which was lost. You came to save the broken. So I pray in this place, draw many to your heart. While every head is bowed down, every eye is closed, you're online as well. You acknowledge you are broken in your heart. You are a sinner. And you want to surrender your heart to Jesus. I want to invite you to your Father who loves you more than anybody. If that is you saying today, Pastor Eddie, I would like to surrender my heart to Jesus. Today, I acknowledge that I need a Savior. I want to pray for you. If that is you, wherever you are, in person, in this place, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you wherever you are. Be reconciled to your Father in heaven. Online, there's a link that is showing up. Click it. Fill it in. One of us is going to reach out to you because you matter. Raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand. Upstairs, in the overflow, wherever you are, lift up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Come back to the love of your Father in heaven because He loves you. Now, Father, I thank you so much. My friends are raising their hands in this place saying, today, I come back to you. Today, I surrender my life to you. Today, I want to be forgiven. I want to be reconciled to my Heavenly Father. I thank you, God, that you have made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that. In Jesus' name, I do pray. And everybody say it. A big amen and amen. Can we celebrate our friends? I've said yes to Jesus. As Pastor Tony comes back on stage to tell us the next steps. Pastor Tony, you're welcome.
Come on, let's appreciate Pastor Eddie for preaching God's word. But also let's celebrate God for His word. If you've been blessed today, well, if you've just given your life to Christ, that is the best decision you will ever make in your life. And for those of you that are right here in person, at the end of this worship experience, connect with any of the host ushers. One of our pastors would love to connect with you. But for our friends that are online and on air, for those of you online, go into the chat section. There's a link right there that will take you to our virtual lounge where one of our pastors is waiting for you. Now, if you're on air, please write to us, connect@wototochurch.com. During the course of the week, we'll get back to you just to share with you the next steps that you need on this new journey that you're on. Now, for those of you online and on air, I just want to say a big thank you for spending time with us today. Let me tell you, you have gained more just being a part of this service. And our prayer here at Watoto is that you will continue experiencing the presence of God in your family every day. And I encourage you every Sunday, invite someone else, invite a man to be a part of these services.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com. Hey,